And I'm Josh Whittaker.
Welcome to Parents in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice, and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because, let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parent in Hell with...
It's coming.
Okay.
Here it comes, all the way from a little place called...
Shit signal on your phone?
Oh, for fuck's sake. Oh no, Rob, it's happened.
Your headphones are connected to the phone and you can't hear me again.
I didn't hear you. But I bought new headphones.
They've broken, haven't they?
Yeah.
Back to this again. Would you say you've exhausted all possibilities of what you could do, or...?
Allegra, can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
And can you say Josh Whittaker?
Josh Whittaker.
Good girl.
There we go. Where are they from, Rob?
She sounded like American. I don't know if she was just trying
to... Oh, not bad, not bad.
Really?
Hong Kong. But that is a bit like... There is an American twang to a Hong Kong accent, isn't there?
I was going to say Canada or something. Hong Kong's so far away from America. It couldn't be further before you start coming back again.
Also, her surname's Bush, so that's an American surname as well. And Marie Bush. Hi, Rob and Josh. Absolutely love the show. It's been a respite. I've just had a second baby and somehow forgot that after 2.5 years with my first, just how hard it is with a newborn. This has got me chuckling along with otherwise I'd be crying. My aforementioned first, my daughter called Allegra, has tried her very best to say your names. Hope this brings a smile to your face. It did.
It did, actually. Play the start again. She sounded very, like, ASMR-y.
Allegra, can you Allegra? Say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
And can you say Josh Whittaker?
Josh Whittaker.
Could be a bit of Australian in there as well. Maybe it's an international school.
There we go. How are you?
Yeah, good. Not too bad.
Alex James today.
Big one for you.
Big one. Loved Alex Jones. Can Alex James match up to Alex Jones?
Do you reckon they've met?
Yeah, surely.
On the sofa. Do you reckon they had a bit of fun about their name?
You've got to, haven't you? The elephant in the room.
Well, if you met someone called Josh Liddlecombe.
Yeah, we'd discuss it.
You'd be like, hello, mate.
If you met Rob Bucket, would you discuss it?
I got off lightly, didn't I? Imagine these teeth on your surname Bucket.
Do you like keeping up appearances?
No, I've never seen it. Is that Hyacinth Bouquet?
Yeah, but it's spelled Bucket, you see.
Yeah. It's a bit of fun of the joke, isn't it?
Yes,
I'm aware of her as a character, but the problem is I grew up in South London and you grew up in Devon where everyone is 10 years behind.
Well, I tell you, one of the biggest fans of keeping up appearances I know grew up very near you.
Tom Allen.
Correct.
He is not, I'd say, a fair representation of any time or place. He very much operates on Tom Allen. Do you know he puts in a full... he puts on a special suit to go and pick slugs off in his garden to get them off his hyacinths.
Oh,
is that hyacinths? What them?
I don't know.
Yeah. Flowers. Flowers. Yeah. He goes out and gets slugs off his little petals and leaves and stuff.
Wow.
In a special little suit.
Oh, says it all, doesn't it? Not like a suit.
Yeah, I think he puts a suit on. Guess how many ties he's got?
30.
More?
40.
More?
100.
More?
What? 200.
130 ties.
Fucking hell.
But he looks good.
He does look good. He does look good.
You can't fault him. Anything else you want to share, Josh? Anything going on with the kids? Did I tell you my daughter's new nickname for me? I don't know if I told you in person or on here.
Captain Travel?
Mr. Travel.
Mr. Travel.
She started calling me because I travel everywhere. It's a bit degrading, isn't it?
Rob.
Yes.
Let's do some correspondence before we bring on Alex James.
Yes, let's do this. What have I got here? Boomer, boomer. We've done a lot of boomers. Parenting fail, boomer. Let's do a parenting fail, shall we?
Yeah.
Hi, Rob and Josh. My daughter was 2 and loved a little plastic doll's tea set. Early one morning, she brought my husband and I a little cup of water in the tea set cups. In order to play along and stay in bed for an extra 10 minutes, we drank it down. Told her how delicious her tea was and please can we have another cup? After about 3 cups of tea water, I suddenly wondered where she was getting the water from, as she couldn't reach the taps in the bathroom.
Oh, no.
So I followed her down the passage and found her leaning over the toilet bowl and scooping up another two cups for us.
Oh, no.
We had drunk three cups of toilet water.
Oh, my God, no. Oh, my God, no.
Her name is Charlie and she lives in Battersea. Have you given her up then? That implies she's no longer your child.
Well, maybe she's moved out.
Oh, maybe when she was little she did that. Now she's a grown woman called Charlie.
Yeah.
Living in Battersea now.
With, let's be honest, a very affluent address.
Very expensive place, Battersea.
Yeah.
Lovely flats, a lot of stairs though.
Yeah.
Lies told at school by kids. Let's have this, Josh. Hello, lovely boys. My 13-year-old son had a friend who came to stay regularly. We live in the country. They both went to a grammar school, not a private school. Lovely lad, and I keep telling us these extra bits. Yep. Lovely lad, and a joy to have as a guest. But he told us tall tales of holidaying with famous sport stars and his family buying the house next door so they could build a swimming pool.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Okay, who's your granddad? Captain Tom Moore.
Hey, that is great stuff. Really good.
I warned our son to take his stories with a pinch of salt. His mum usually picked him up or he caught the school bus. Oh, my fucking chair went again.
Right, note that one down, Michael, for the... How does it happen?
I push my foot back when I'm concentrating and then it catches the little lever and it's nearly breaking my ankle every time and it's actually a disaster. This will be the last record of this chair, I'll have you know. Anyway, his mum usually picked him up or he caught the school bus in the morning, so I'd never been to his home. On this occasion, his mum had car trouble, so asked me to drop her son home. A round trip of an hour and a half. Now, as I pulled up to the house, I saw a building site next door, which should have been the first clue. As I peeked around the corner of the building site, I saw the start of a swimming pool. I started to think maybe this wasn't all lies. As I dropped him off, the front door opened, he ran in, and on the wall was photo after photo of the most famous people I have ever seen,
wow.
From actors to sports stars.
Wow.
Everything he'd said was true.
No.
Sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction. Love, Susie.
Wow. That is good, isn't it?
That is exciting, isn't it?
There was a kid at my school, and I think her mum was a fantasist.
Okay.
And she used to claim to mix with Hollywood royalty, and she called them stuff like Harry Ford instead of Harrison Ford and stuff like that.
Really?
But it was the mum. So actually, it's probably quite bleak.
Imagine that. All right, kids. Who wants to watch CBeebies? Oh, by the way, anyone into Indiana Jones? I'm friends with Harry Ford. Oh, Harry Ford, don't you know? Yeah, that's what friends call him.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford was in Radio 2 being interviewed when I was in there, and I tried to get to him, but there was too many people.
Oh.
That would have been nice, wasn't it?
What do you look like? Do you look old?
No, the angle of it, I couldn't even see him through the window.
Oh, no.
It's livid. I at least wanted to watch him through a window like a sort of zoo animal.
Yeah, yeah. Who was interviewing him? Zoe?
Zoe Ball. She's a big dog, isn't she?
He's not doing 5 p.m. on a Sunday, is he?
Even callers go, no, I'll meet me at dinner then. Do you want to come on and tell us about that story? Nah, probably not. Not at 6 o'clock on a Sunday, mate. Nothing. You crack on, play a couple of songs.
Pop on the bangles, mate. Enjoy yourself.
Here's a Four Tops. Enjoy yourself.
Talking music.
Oh, lovely stuff. Also, haven't you done a little Radio 2 Blur thing?
Oh, I did my Blur. I should say this now, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
That was BBC Sounds.
Sorry, BBC Sounds.
I got asked to pick my favourite Blur tracks for their Blur collectors. They've done loads of Blur programmes because Blur are back.
Yeah.
As we established in this interview with Alex James, who's the bassist for Blur.
I know, you should be on a cut. The amount of promo you've done on this show.
I know. Anyway, if you want to listen to me talk about my favourite Blur tracks, go to BBC Sounds. It's called Blur and Me by Josh Widdicombe. I tell an anecdote on it about the only emails I've exchanged with Damon Albarn. So there's a...
Oh, that's exciting. And do they play the songs as well on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What one's your favourite?
There's only one way to find out, Rob.
Oh, can we not have a little tease?
There's only one way to find out, Rob.
Oh, look at you. And also, while you're on there, can you listen to my Radio 2 show?
Yeah, listen to Rob's Radio 2 show. Get them both downloaded.
Get them both down your fucking neck.
Guzzle them down, or at least put them on and don't listen to them. It still counts.
Yeah, if you could just put them on repeat, all the numbers count. If actually, like, just as long as it's played out, I don't really care if you listen or not, as long as you get the old. It's all numbers these days, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all analytics.
Just like open all your windows, pop them on BBC Sounds, play them 10 times each, and just mute your computer and just listen to the radio normally.
Perfect.
Listen to this.
That's the way to do it. Right, should we bring on, you introduce me, it's your hero.
Alex James.
Cool, great. What an underwhelming intro.
Alex James, hello, how are you?
Oh, never better, man. Did a massive show and then got up early, came home and had to was faced with a massive pile of washing up.
Oh, that's the reality of it.
Because what's that? You're in the middle of like a massive tour with Blur.
Yes.
So this is peak.
Yes.
And you've got your big festival event the end of August. And are you sat in a monastery because it's the best place for the Wi-Fi, or it's the only place you can cope because of your schedule?
Well, the farm where I live, there is something quite monastic about old farm buildings, actually. A lot of musicians seem to end up living on farms. I think there's a reason, you know, years of living out of a suitcase, you kind of need to put down roots. And, you know, monks sing in the morning and make cheese in the afternoon. So I came to the right place.
You've got 5 kids.
Oh, my God, 5 teenagers now. As of
5 teenagers? Yeah. Yeah. Now. And they've got, I would say, the greatest 5 names in the history of naming.
Well, Geronimo, the eldest, yeah, he
great kind of start, like, strong.
He's 19 now, so he's out the door actually. But back for the summer and working in the office, which is fantastic. And then when you start with the Geronimo, you've kind of got to go on the same trajectory. Yeah. So the. Twins who are 17, Artemis and Galileo, who tend to go by Artie and Galley, they just turned 17. And I got home yesterday and the garden is full of road traffic cones. so they clearly had a good night on there. So there's some roadworks up the road. I was going to tell them off.
There were some roadworks up the road. Now there's just a hole.
they're going to have to go and put those back later. Sable's just 14, turning 15 this summer. Right in the middle of festival, actually. It always falls on her birthday. And Beatrix, the youngest, is just about to turn 13. So,
Word.
Yes, everything's about
what
to change.
Household.
There's no one for me to cuddle anymore. Nobody wants to go Nobody. I'm the only one who wants to go to Legoland this summer. It's really sad.
Oh, no. Oh, man. And the first thing that I think is, how do you tell them? I mean, do you tell them not to do as you did? Have they, any of them, read your book and gone?
Yes, well, yes, that did, you know, that in terms of promoting my books, saying that I'd spent £1 million on drugs and booze was a kind of good marketing hook. I kind of made it up, but everyone believed it. But that is coming back to haunt me now.
Are they trying to beat your record? Is that a bit of competitiveness? Well,
I think 16th birthdays are the worst of all. Like, all the years of rock and roll, nothing can hold a candle to those parties when, you know, when you're like 16. Rock and roll had nothing on that, actually.
Yeah.
But I think No Secrets is the most important thing, actually. Yeah. I mean, being in a band does enable you to do what every young person wants to do. You can just kind of do it more and for longer, I suppose. Yeah, at 16, it's still like you're in this speedboat. You want to know how fast it goes. And by the time you get 18, you kind of works out where the limits are a little bit. I mean, I always try and get them to have their birthday party, their 16th birthdays and up, try and get them to have them at festival so that the liability is not mine. It's with IMG festival backers. But they, because it's terrifying.
Yeah.
It is really terrifying. Now the kids have got older, we've had to split it up in the car. The last holiday in France, we were on the Autoroute du Soleil, you know, in the boiling sun, heading south, and a punch up broke out. We got like this van. We bought it when Beatrix was born. It's like an 8-seater van. It's fantastic. I mean, it's my favourite car I've ever had. I feel like my dad when I'm driving a van. But a fight broke out in the back, and there was two, I don't know which two it was, but there was two of them like rolling around on the floor in the back, and there was like really busy Autoroute du Soleil in August.
You're like a tour manager for your own kids.
No, exactly. But there's more people in my family there than there is in the Blur band. It's crazy. Yeah, there's 5 of us on stage, and there's 7 people in my family. So we've had to like long haul drives. We have to split those up now. The girls fly, and the boys go road trip.
Right.
And when you had 5 kids, let's go
19 and 13. So at a point, yes, there would have been a newborn up to 6, 5 under
so
6.
I was thinking. Before I was due to speak to you, I was running the numbers. Like, yeah, was that oldest 19? So there must have been five under six. And I just, I think I've blocked it all out. There's just like so many wet wipes and nappies and sticky patches. Yeah. And so the washing up is just in the law. Just in, I mean, it's just insane.
And that was not long after you'd been, you know, the king of Soho. Do you know? So like you've gone from one existence. Do you remember thinking, fuck it, I used to be up all night in a completely different way.
Yeah. Well, I remember when the twins were about to arrive, like, I was like, Claire, you know, everything's about to change. And they were premature and there were complications there. And yeah, but that was absolute mayhem. And that was really when the dynamic shifted, actually, from the kind of rock gentleman thing, because... you know, we just moved here and we'd go to parties and Claire would get, oh, you're the one who's married to that guy from the band. And I remember going to a dinner party just after the twins were born and someone saying, oh, you're the guy who's married to that woman who's just had twins. and so I'm going out with twins, like, because you have the double buggy, they kind of do, they draw a bit of a crowd. People are into, oh, twins say matchy matchy. And it's sort of, yeah, me and Geronimo, yeah, we were kind of very marginalized by the arrival of the twins.
Yeah.
And then they just kept coming. By the time we got to four, like, we didn't get invited to anyone's house. And by the time we had five, like, nobody wanted to come around to our house. We have to kind of book Sigrid and Tom Grennan to get anyone to come.
Is that why you put on the big festival? Is that how it started then?
No, exactly, yeah, but pretty much.
The big festival is, and I'm very excited about this, has booked Mr. Tumble.
First thing we do every year, Mr. Tumble, Cuban Brothers. And you've got a party then.
What's he like? What's he like?
He turns up and then he puts on his check jacket and his red nose and he walks out onto the stage. He sings One Man Went to Mo and brings the house down every year without fail.
And what's he like off stage? Have you spent much time with him, with Tumble?
Yeah, no, we were comparing set lists actually, because I did something with the Royal Ballet and an orchestra a couple of years back, and I had my set list, which like started with the 1812 Overture, the Can Can, second movement, Beethoven's Seventh, and he was like one man went to Mo, 10 green bottles. and it was that interesting comparing comparing set lists. But no, he's great. And I mean the great thing about Feast, this is, we're into our 12th year now. This is year number 12. And a lot of the chefs bring their families, and you know, a lot of the artists who are performing come with their families. A lot of the chefs come back every year because there's nothing kids love more than camping. I think, you know, they'd rather stay in a tent than Claridge's. Their mother and I is different. But you know, kids absolutely love camping. We set a tent up in the, we've all set a tent up in the garden, like right since they were really little. Cause you know, it's completely another, you're going into another world, you know, it's dark and quiet and spiders and stories.
So is it very kid friendly then? Cause it's on the,
It's like the last bank holiday, the last weekend of the summer holidays, but basically, so it's something to look forward to. And yeah, I mean, obviously I've made five children, six cheeses, eight albums. I'm just filling the farm up with everything that I care about.
And it's your
about.
Actual farm, isn't it? It's
my actual
land.
Farm. Yeah, so Jamie Oliver contacted me, it must have been 12 years ago. We'd met playing in a comic relief band together. He's a good drummer. He's got loads of kids as well. And he was like, you love food, I love music, you've got the venue. Let's see if we can do something. We were really lucky, had great weather for the first few years. You kind of need that to kind of establish an event. And I've just found that I have endless enthusiasm for filling the farm up with everything I love the most. I mean, the kids stuff is really, really satisfying. I mean, you know, it's a very family-friendly festival. We're very well set up.
For a good first festival with kids, would you say?
Yeah, as a first festival, my question is, mine are 5 and 2.
Yeah, but absolutely.
Too early.
Absolutely. No. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Okay. What the little ones really love is just the kind of, actually the stuff that I love about the farm. It's like, you know, haystacks and woodland and you know, just being in the countryside is lovely. And that's, over the last few years, we've kind of opened up more of the kind of woody kind of areas of the farm. But the haystack, that was the first year we had a sponsor that was like right in the middle of the arena that was supposed to be, I think it was a film tent or something, and they pulled out at the last minute. We were like, oh, what are we going to do? So we just put a load of hay bales right in the middle of it. And it was just a huge success. Like this, it was just covered in children and adults actually all weekend. Yeah. We always find like half a dozen iPhones and a few hundred quid in loose change over on the Monday.
So you'd say 5-2, it's a feasible...
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, do you have to bring your own tent?
There are various options from glamping to pre-pitch down to kind of bring your own. There's just so much stuff for kids to do, like from all ages up. We've got like parents' pit stops. So there's like nappy changing and baby feeding areas. But actually, you know, even the toddlers, they love the camping. There's nothing that kids like more than camping. And this is kind of like camping with all the bells and whistles, like we've totally got you covered.
Yeah, because I went camping with the kids and they loved it and I hated it, but we were just in a field. Whereas if we're here and we've got stuff to do all day and there's facilities like good food, good drink, music, baby change, it changes it completely.
Yeah. I mean, it is a source of endless satisfaction to me, just because it was a bit of a gamble buying this place. We bought it on our honeymoon at kind of the exact point when kind of Blur had enough of each other and, you know, we all needed to go off and do other things.
Had you got kids at that point, Alex?
No. We bought it on our honeymoon and it was like completely derelict, and I met and married Claire very, very quickly, and marriage is always a kind of leap of faith, isn't it? You don't really know what you're getting into, do you? We moved to this, you know, moved out of London to this place in the countryside where I didn't know anybody, with a woman I didn't know really, didn't really have a job. And it was absolutely, for years, you know, I had to work my nuts off actually to kind of keep the thing afloat, because, you know, I wasn't really earning any money. You know, my job just kind of stopped.
And if you buy a property when your job's flying, and when that stops for, you know, whatever reason, it sort of gets scary when you've got these massive buildings.
I bought a, you know, it wasn't just a home, it's a business as well, a farm, a crap business, as you'll know if you've watched Jeremy's farming show.
Are any of the kids looking to take over the farm? Because obviously that's one of the things with a farmer, is a kind of, you've got a succession style situation on your hands where you're trying to not offload the farm, but you're thinking who's going to take it on when you know.
I learned very early on that the festival, the kids all need a job, like even from when they're really, because otherwise they just wander around to all the stalls going, my dad's Alex James, can I have a free one? And that's right, just that.
It's actually my house, this. This is my garden.
So, no, they've all kind of, it's because it involves, you know, it involves music and food and kids stuff. I remember there was one year, There was a shipping container full of Lego were a sponsor, and there was a shipping container painted like a Lego brick with a Lego brand on the side, but like being craned into the front field, like just over there, and all the kids were just like, yes, just going absolutely mental. You know, they came to see Blur in Hyde Park, and they were kind of like, yeah. But when the shipping container full of Lego was craned into the front garden, that was like the happiest I've ever seen them. You know, there's definitely something to pique all of their interests, whatever they are. So
are they fans of Blur?
Oh my God! So five teenagers. I mean, I know this is a family show, but all I can usually expect is fuck off, fatty. That's basically.
That's what they say to you.
Yeah, yeah. I said, can you just not say that in front of Granny? Just. Well, four of them came. It was a polite decline from Sable for Eastbourne. I was like, no, come on, it'll be really good. But four of them came, and Beatrix, who's just turning 13, she so it's 2015, it's 8 years ago the last time. So she was like five. Last time, and I said, you've seen Blur before, though. She said, no, I was asleep by the time you came on. Because, it, you know, we're on quite past bedtime, so it's always an exciting day going to a gig and stuff. So she, you know, she'd literally never seen us before. And I knew where she was standing in the audience. I thought, she's either going to love it or hate it. And the lights on the audience came up a little bit, and I looked over, and I saw her, and she was just like this.
Oh.
And afterwards, they were all like, "Dad, you're so cool," and "Dad, that was so brilliant."
Oh, amazing. Were you? Was that more nerve wracking than anything, having them there?
Actually, no. I mean, they're kind of used to seeing me. And something strange has happened since the last time out. The audience, they used to be like a Blur, and oh yeah, my dad really likes Blur, or my mum likes Blur. But now it's like my kids love Blur.
Do you guys ever talk about? Because there's three of you are dads. Do you ever sit backstage, or you're having lunch during the recording, and you're like, "Fucking hell, teenagers are."
Or every day. Yeah, because, you know, we're all checking it. Oh, God, yeah. But it's, I know it's actually really nice because the kids have all been, the older kids have all been coming out to this. It's lovely, actually. All of the Blur kids seem to really love Blur, and it's great. And they've all been hating. So they were all out at Primavera in Barcelona, and they loved it. And then they went for Skrillex the next day. And I think Skrillex slightly had the edge.
Yeah. And how do you like share your time between all five? Because obviously you're busy with a farm, you're busy with a festival.
Yeah, so it's like it's an Excel spreadsheet. It is actually a wonderful anchor. It's been said famously many times that, you know, you stop evolving at the point you become well known. Yeah, I was basically acting like a child until I had one. Do make adults, adults make children, but children make adults. And, you know, it was many years of nappies and, well, let's go, so glad to have done my last nappies. So many years of nappies. But what they really need now, it's harder to connect with them as they get older, and they kind of need a different kind of support. Well, I mean, what they all need now is kind of cooks, drivers. Cooking with the kids is that's something that has been like, brilliant, like right from the very beginning. Food does have a universal appeal, you know. Yeah, I mean, I wonder if the kids will like Blur or not, but I know they're all going to like chocolate, you know. They like, everybody likes chocolate, and one of my kids doesn't like cheese, actually, interestingly.
Do you think that's a rebellious decision, or
he likes pizza. They all like pizza, so you know, really every weekend. Like, since we moved here, we've been making pizzas.
My kids love pizza, and I want to make pizza with them, but there's a million different pizza ovens and Gosneys, Oonies, and all these different names. You've done it now for 19 years of pizza weekend.
We've done everything. We did everything from like making the mozzarella, growing the tomatoes, even growing the wheat, and like tried every kind of pizza oven. There's some little electric ones that you can buy. Like Nisbet's got really good ones. They're like 200 or 300 quid. So, you know, it's your money back in. Like, well, if you've got like seven people in the family, there's like money back first.
Two trips to Pizza Express.
Exactly.
I'd say, because we got a pizza oven, and I'd say per pizza is the most money I've ever spent in terms of. But that's a reflection on my, because it takes 3 hours to get warm.
you didn't get it. Yeah. This one takes the 15 minutes, my boy. Yeah.
I mean, no, this is wood. This is
the wood fire. Yeah, see, I tried the wood fire one, but you've got to light the fire. It's a lot. The electric one gets the most, and you need it like, I've got it right outside the back door, like under a kind of shelter, because otherwise it starts smelling like a takeaway shop. So like deep fat fryer and pizza oven and barbecue, like right outside the kitchen door, underneath a little lean-to. It's been a game changer, that, my man cave.
So yours are like little electric ones. You just put them in like little, like they look like industrial.
Yeah, one at a time. Because the thing with pizza is that it needs to be cooked hot. So my record, fast and hot. So pizza ovens go like 100 degrees hotter than a standard oven. That's why you need one. And the stone base is really good. But my record is 17 seconds to cook a pizza. That was in a wood-fired Rayburn with anthracite. It was like the whole thing was glowing red. Like, just slid it in there, and you go, explodes. You get this wonderful bubbly up base. But, you know, food is a really good way to kind of engage and teach, and weekends are normally spent the whole time cooking.
Do they all like the countryside life, or are there some that are going, I can't wait to move to London?
So Geronimo's in Brighton now, and I think he was ready, I think if you grow up in the countryside, then it's fine. I mean, I'd had absolutely enough of Bournemouth by the time I got to Geronimo's age. But actually, the fact that there's five of them, I mean, we are quite isolated, you know, so it's a mile walk to the village. But there is a footpath going straight to the pub that was established 100 years ago, yeah, hundreds of years ago. But you know, the fact that there's five of them, they are their own peer group. And when we used to, I think one thing that used to, which shouldn't have done, but used to make me very proud, when we used to, like, every Saturday we'd have to take them all to a swing park. But what was always good, like, we could go to any swing park anywhere in the world, and the five of them could kind of take control of the swing park with a kind of twin pincer movement. Yeah. Within like 5 seconds, they'd be on the best roundabout or whatever. Do you know what I mean? They really act as a team.
So they all get on then? Do they all get on?
When they're not, I mean, you know, there's, you know, every day they're shouting and swearing and fighting, you know, and bristling.
But they're five teenagers all at once is hardcore.
I think they've all got each other's backs 100% for sure.
I get the feeling you're quite an emotional parent. I get the feeling you feel it quite strongly. Do you know what I mean?
It's what consumes me more than anything. Absolutely. First and foremost, father. There's no doubt five kids is... It's a big commitment. You know, I'm busy even before I started trying to do a show in Portugal or make some cheese. But I mean, actually, it's wonderful.
You go on tour, you must go, there is a bit of, you get on the plane, you're like, thank fuck.
Yeah. I mean, it makes, you know, playing the bass in a rock band is the easiest thing. Compared to parenting, it's actually really, really relaxing, like going back into that blur bubble.
So Wembley Stadium's more relaxing.
Yeah. Oh my God, so that's down as a night off, you know.
What's lost? You know, Alex, you're on here, we're chatting about kids, the big feast of all, but Josh is a Blur super fan. So, Josh, you know, I might not want to ask, are there any questions you want to ask Alex that you've always wanted to ask that aren't necessarily on topic, but will give you a reprieve? You can go as nerdy as you want.
It's all going to be quite boring, isn't it?
No, come on, let's have it.
But I would quite like to hear what would be the deep dive question that you'd want as a mega fan, as it were.
So, do you feel, are there songs that you don't like that are in the sex, they're big songs, but you can't stand them? And conversely, are there songs that you feel have gone hugely been ignored? I'd say He Thought of Cars is, for me...
Really interesting.
Yeah.
We've been rehearsing that.
Yes, we have. Wow. Here we go.
I mean, Damon is one for blowing hot and cold. You know, he's at the moment he's refusing to do Charmless Man, which was a huge hit.
Yeah.
It's bad. I mean, yeah. I'm a lot more kind of lighthearted. Like, here's our 20 most popular songs. Let's just play them in reverse order. That's the set list. What they want, right? It was like, why don't we just get the crew to put the words to Charmless Man on the big screens, and then I'll walk out for the encore and start playing it. They'll all start singing, and then Damon's got to get involved.
So you don't dislike any of the big songs?
There's plenty of stuff I've done outside of Blur that I'm like, maybe that was a mistake. But I think, anything that kind of tends to see the light of day with Blur. I mean, I sincerely believe that there's merit in all of it. There's literally nothing that I change really. I mean, some of them, it's like, oh my, you know, he thought, oh God, he wants to do that one. How does it even go? And you know,
I'm have you got it written down somewhere?
No. But I've got an amp set up here, and just find it. Some of you can find it on YouTube, and just start playing. Like, how does that go? And it's amazing, like two or three times round, and it's just like, oh my god, I'm doing it. And it's just all those years of motor memory. I mean, I think we booked Calice for Feastival a few years back, and she's become a chef as well. And I was really bigging her up in the promo, like, yeah, we got Calice coming. It's good. She didn't do milkshake. Can we have our money back?
Especially a gig about food.
There's a fucking link there, mate.
It's a song about food at a food festival. And it's just, I mean, you've got one song, basically. Come on, do your song. If success is going to come in music, it tends to come quite quickly and at quite a young age. And it can give you a second act problem. How old were Led Zeppelin when they did Stairway to Heaven? In their early 20s? You know, how old are they now? You know, if you had them on the podcast, you wouldn't be talking about Stairway to Heaven more than kind of what the new album.
Yeah.
I guess that, you know, it can give you the heebie-jeebies. Can't you know, if you're still 70 years, that's what I mean when my kids come to see Blur and they're like, oh my God, Dad, that's amazing. It's like, well, that's not just what I do. I do cheese and I'm a dad. But yeah, I think the fact that all of us have managed to cope, when I didn't choose for Blur to stop happening when it did, but I was, what, 33, 34? I was, like, just about young enough to have enough energy to kind of work something. And if I didn't have Feastival to sort of occupy me and engage me and the family to kind of consume me, it might be more difficult to just go just, you know, Country House, Wembley, fucking obviously.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a problem with any of it, you know. What's not to like?
Oh, amazing.
Oh, it's been a pleasure talking to you. We always end with the same question, Alex, which is about parenting, which is... But you could... Do you know what? You could do it about the other members of Blur if you want, which is... if there's one thing that your wife does as a parent that makes you go, fucking hell, that's unbelievable. I couldn't do that. She's incredible. And there's one thing that she does that really annoys you that you keep to yourself... But were she to listen to this, it's your way of communicating it to her.
Yeah, well, I've squared this off with her. My wife is completely OCD with like labeling and meticulous. I mean, I think you kind of have to be with five. It is like a military operation, but yeah, everyone's got a colour. Everyone's colour coded.
Oh, really? Like their bags and coats.
Yeah,
yeah.
And two of them are colourblind, so it's had to be kind of reassessed over the years. But yeah, just the kind of OCD level of kind of labelling. But there's no way around it. I mean, but she seems to have a real flair for that kind of precious Virgo kind of triplicates kind of paperwork.
What's your colour? Have you got a colour yourself?
No, it was supposed to be that I was the only one without a colour.
So where does it stretch to? Beds? Or just like shoes and coats?
The pillowcases, all, you know, all,
oh, really?
All, yeah, wow. Pillows. Everyone's got their own favourite pillows and yeah, I mean, and now the boys are all my height or taller now, so they can't steal my shoes anymore. But I can never find socks. Socks is a problem.
Yeah, we had to have a sock amnesty in my house.
And so, what do they wear? They have the same coloured socks every day.
No, there's a little dot that goes, or a name tag that goes. I mean, I quite like the name tag.
Have you got it on your socks now?
Have I got one on my socks today? No, these actually must be my socks. But I noticed, I looked down at my feet on stage and I saw there was my foot was up on the monitor in Barcelona. And there was a little Galileo Nick James name tag in my socks. But there was a moment with Claire very early days when we were getting down to it and the condom split. And she was like, it's split. And there was this sudden epiphany that... Oh my God, that's not a disaster. I want your babies. And I've never felt that like with anyone. And that was a kind of moment.
What a romantic story.
Yeah. And then what did you do? Leave the car park and head out for dinner. It's just a feeling, isn't it? I think when you're with someone that you really love and want to be with, you can't, it's hard to explain it, but you just know.
Yeah, that definitely goes back to that moment. I mean, obviously, we've been arguing ever since, but I'm blessed.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, thanks so much,
Alex. Lovely ending. Thank you, Alex.
Alex James, how was that for you, Josh?
I love that bloke. I love all four of them, obviously.
He's a good guy. Alex's life sounds so busy.
Fucking Nora, mate.
Absolutely.
Five kids. The thought that... If I'd been in a band till I was 33, living that life, and then I'd kind of, on a whim, bought a farm and had to make it work as a business, I'd have been like, what the fuck have I done? I wouldn't be laughing about it.
I wouldn't be laughing about it.
But he's fucking made it work.
He's made it work. Anyway, right, speak to you next time.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Josh Widdicombe, you're in luck. That's because the co-host of Parenting Hell and The Last Leg Maestro is the guest on the first episode of the Always Be Comedy podcast. Out now, and with me, your host and MC at Always Be Comedy, James Gill. Each week, the cream of comedy curates their fantasy comedy gig. Who'd open? Who'd close? What gig nightmare do they never want to relive? All this and much, much more. It's essentially comedy gossip and chat.
You know, I remembered this the other day. My first ever gig. Oh, it was like a Friday night open mic night. And they said, we'll just announce you on when you're on. We haven't got a running order. It's a bit free form. I got to the end of the night and then they wrapped it up and they'd forgotten to put me on. Oh, and I'd sat there the whole night.
We've also got Stuart Lee, Harry Hill, Jen Brister, Ben Bailey-Smith, Maisie Adam, Al Murray, Rachel Paris, and many, many more coming up. That's the Always Be Comedy podcast, out now with new episodes every Tuesday.
Politics.
Sport.
Climate change.
Culture wars.
I'm Jack D.
And I'm Sean Walsh.
These are just some of the things we won't be talking about in our podcast, Oh My Dog.
Not that we couldn't if we wanted to.
Oh, of course we could.
Obviously, we're both well known for our scathing satire and social commentary, but we've decided to set that aside to talk about our favourite subject.
Dogs. Do you let your dogs kiss you on the face?
Tiggy and Molly will nibble your earlobe.
Oh, Jack likes that.
Jack likes that.
I mean, from Dolly. Sorry, that sounded like Jack likes me doing that.
Old French bulldog, Professor Snowball. If he can't see us in the house, you'll hear this horrible noise. There was once when Jen and I, we locked the bedroom door. We thought there was a man in the house because we heard him shout, no!
Give me one sec. Grace, is Mildred chipped? Oh, yeah, no, of course she is. No, she is chipped. Sorry.
Actually, it'd be good if Grace could do the programme because... seems to know more about what's going on.
Join us on our podcast, Oh My Dog.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Instagram at OMDpod.